to the lovingly committed saints of the children of Jacob, who are not Jews, but are the Anglo-Saxon peoples of Yahweh's race planted on the earth. Greetings, and may the divine influence be with you. This is part 13 of all the verses on grace and mercy. You can follow along with the article by going to thinkoutsidethebeast.com. Grace and mercy is found in the Word Studies menu. This is the final part in the series. When we do not study the Word and just go by what the English reads, we are missing out on the deeper meanings and message. The Bible is a coded book. At face value, it seems to say what it reads, but those of you who study the Hebrew and Greek words understand that many words in the English do not represent the original meaning or message. In many instances, it is just innocent errors by the translators. In most instances, it is deliberate tampering and glossing over by the Jewish scribes and hired translators. The King James Perversion is a grammatically incorrect version, which has been edited by Francis Bacon, a Freemason and Rosicrucian. He was also said to be into magic and homosexuality. If you are familiar with the Dog Latin, you can plainly see the corrupt and criminal text all over the King James Version. For example, the title, Holy Bible, in all caps, without hyphens, is a foreign and debased text. Also, every chapter begins with the first two words in the Dog Latin, all caps, and without hyphens, again, which is a fraudulent text. It appears and is read as English, but the grammatical rules do not allow two different languages to appear on one document, rendering it as a fraud, criminal, debased, and compromised. But to the unlearned, it seems like plain old English. One will not understand the Bible and see and hear the message unless Yahweh draws them. The Holy Spirit is our decoding machine. When we are called to hear the Word and we respond to the divine influence, the Holy Spirit will guide your understanding and decipher the code so you may receive the true message. People think they can just read the Bible and get closer to God. Well, unless God wants you to get closer to Him, you won't. Just look at all the denominational pew warmers. They have not cracked the code because they do not have the Holy Spirit dwelling within them because they are partaking in the rituals of whatever denomination they have chosen to follow. They may be children of Jacob, but when our people are blindly trusting and following a counterfeit religion and calling upon a Jewish Jesus, then the Holy Spirit can have no part of it. They will continue to believe their delusions and will not be able to decode the message, because the Holy Spirit cannot dwell in a habitual sinner, even if they are in ignorance. They can come to the truth, but only if Yahweh draws them, and if they will not take root and their hearts and minds are seared by Jewish deceit, then they will remain children of Belial, worthless, and profitable for nothing. It matters who and what we believe. When we humble ourselves, repent, and change our ways, and ask Yahweh for knowledge and understanding, He will send the Holy Spirit to decode His amazing word so we may see and hear and understand. As we can see, that grace is really a shallow and meaningless English word, but the Hebrew and Greek reveal grace to be favor, acceptance, pleasure, and delight, which are all how Yahweh recognizes us when we do that which is right in His sight. And mercy, which is actually the English word we should be using instead of grace, because mercy is the pity, compassion, loving kindness, and loving commitment that Yahweh has towards the seed of His promise. Grace, in certain contexts, is also referring to the divine gratuity, which is our free gift, and divine influence, which is what Yahweh exerts upon His children, which draws them to Christ, keeps, strengthens, increases them in the true Christian belief, knowledge, understanding, and affection, and kindles them to the exercise of the true Christian virtues. Isn't that more descriptive of what grace and mercy mean, rather than the empty meaning and belief that God's grace and mercy are free and allow you to do as thou wilt, because sin and the law was done away with and God loves everybody? Christianity is not a club or something you do for an hour on Sunday. It's a living heritage. It's the way of life. It is the history of our race and the message to those of our people who are lost and are in need of a shepherd. We continue this final installment of Grace and Mercy in Hebrews 2:9. But we see Yeshua, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace, or by the divine influence, of Elohim should taste death for every man. Man was added by the translators in this verse. Man is usually G444, anthropos. The Greek has G3956 here, which is pas, which means each, every, whosoever, and all. It should read, and He, by the divine influence of Elohim, should taste death for the sake of all. All, meaning Adamites, specifically the seed of Abraham. The context of the scriptures regarding all, every, and whosoever always refers to the Adamic race, Israel, the seed of Abraham. Nowhere does the scriptures include the other races, or the church, in the promises, covenants, heritage, and inheritance that was given to Abraham by Yahweh. Verse 16, for verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. Christ was of the offspring of Abraham, literally fleshly posterity. The churches teach that you can become spiritual Israel. This is a lie. The word seed in Greek is sperma. Sperm cannot be spiritual. Sperm produces kind after kind. Verse 17. Wherefore in all things it obliged Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful, or compassionate, or lovingly committed, and trustworthy high priest in the things pertaining to Elohim, to make reconciliation for, or a propitiatory shelter for the sins of the people. G 2433, hilaskomahi, is to render oneself, become propitious, to be merciful. His sacrifice is not only fulfilling His word, but by it He is making a propitiatory shelter for the missing the mark of duty, or sins, of the people. The priesthood atonements for the people were only for that year. Christ's death forever atoned for the sins we repent for. That's why we must repent daily, for we sin daily. But we can't just bring a goat to atone for sins anymore. We must bring sincere repentance and a change of mind and a way of living. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Yeshua, the Son of Elohim, let us hold fast our profession. Profession is G3671, homologia, which is a confession, a covenant, an avowal, or promise. The promise to obey the covenant made with our forefathers at Sinai. Verse 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of, or feel sympathy or feel compassion for our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly, or with liberty, unto the throne of grace, or unto the throne of divine influence, that we may obtain mercy, or compassion, or loving commitment, and find grace, or and find divine influence, to help in time of need. If we come to the throne of grace empty or worthless, meaning not as an obedient follower or even repentant, we will not obtain mercy or favor in times of need. Chapter 5 details the reason for the sacrifices by the high priests. Hebrews 5:1. For every high priest, being taken from among men, on behalf of men, is established in the things pertaining to Yahweh, that he would offer both gifts and sacrifices for errors, who can have compassion, or affected by emotion, on the ignorant, and on them that are being led out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with weakness. Paul is showing that Christ was not taken from among men. He is God among men. The Levites were assigned to the duties of the priesthood. They performed the sacrifices and rituals. They were also men, and therefore they had to make offerings for their own sins as well. In chapter 5, Paul uses Melchizedek as a model to show his Hebrew brethren that the Levitical priesthood is not the end game. Melchizedek is a preacher of righteousness. Adam was the first one. Noah was the eighth. The oldest living patriarch was the high priest of the order of Melchizedek. This continued until Nahor, Abraham's older brother. When Levi was born to Jacob, Yahweh appointed Levi and his children as the priestly tribe. This began the Levitical priesthood, which performed the sacrifices and rituals for the nation. This Levitical office of the priesthood continued until John the Immerser, who was the last legitimate Levitical priest. When Christ died, the priesthood and its ordinances and sacrificial rituals expired, and Yeshua became our high priest and mediator to Yahweh. So the Melchizedek priesthood started out with the oldest living patriarch from Adam to Nahor. It skipped Abraham and Jacob because Levi was born before Nahor died. Then it went to the office of the Levitical priests because the race of Adam became a large nation of people to govern, hence Levites in every city. And then the priesthood went to Christ, who is the reigning high priest. Hebrews 8:6. But now Christ obtained a more distinguished office of Melchizedek, but how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. The law written on our heart and the acceptance of Christ as our high priest, the old covenant was not erased. It served its purpose leading up to the crucifixion. Now that Christ died for us, through him we might have everlasting life. The sacrifices shall cease. Daniel 9:27. Hebrews 8:7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. It was our inability to follow the first covenant that was at fault. The priesthood, rituals, and oblations could never save you. They were just a schoolmaster to teach the way. If the first covenant had been the blueprint for salvation, then Yahweh would not have removed the priesthood and the sacrifices. Christ would not have had to die and go to the land of the dead to set the captives free. There would have been no need for Christ to die if the first covenant was faultless. Verse 8, For finding fault with them, he said, Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, the uncircumcision, and with the house of Judah, the circumcision. Notice, it does not and never says anything about the New Covenant adding the church, or Gentiles, or anyone else. Verse 9, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith Yahweh. Our ancestors disobeyed and became an idolatrous, race-mixing whore whom he divorced and cast off. Verse 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with them, the house of Israel, after those days, says Yahweh. I will put my laws into their mind, and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them an Elohim, and they shall be to me a people. The context is still and always is the children of Israel, then and now, the same and only people, true Anglo-Saxon Israel. Christ's sacrifice was the reconciling and regathering of his divorced and cast-off people. Verse 11, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know Yahweh, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Hence, the gospel, the promise of our kinsman redeemer. Verse 12, for I will be merciful, or propitious, to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more, in that he says, a new covenant, he has made the first old. Now that which decays and waxes old is ready to vanish away. The old covenant was the written law, meant as a model and for teaching and understanding of the way. The new covenant was the law written in our hearts. The days of the priesthood are over, and now we are in a grace period until our Prince returns. He continues his loving commitment and working his divine influence in us, and those of us who respond to it will be considered for marriage when he returns. If you are not practicing the law, you are an adversary and breaking the law voluntarily. Hebrews 10:28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy, or compassion, or pity, under two or three witnesses. Of how much worse a punishment, suppose you, shall he deserve, who has trodden underfoot the Son of Elohim, and has counted the blood of the covenant, whereas he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and has insulted the Spirit of grace, and has insulted the Spirit of divine influence. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongs unto me, I will recompense, says Yahweh. And again, Yahweh shall judge his people. Paul encourages his kinsmen to endure the afflictions and struggles in this satanic society, which come to those who have been enlightened with divine influence. Verse 34, for you had compassion, or sympathy, of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, or boldness of belief, which has great recompense of reward. Recompense of reward is G3405, misthapodosia, which means hire or reward from giving. Verse 36, for you have need of endurance, that after you have done the will of Elohim, you might receive the promise. Receive is G2865, komizo, which means to recover what was previously one's own. When we show mercy and compassion and loving commitment, we receive misthapodosia, which is the reward from giving. Reward from being a lovingly committed one under the divine influence of Yahweh. We recover komizo, which means something we originally had, which is the promised blessing. This mortal life is all about following the way And in doing so, we recover all those wonderful things Yahweh had promised us, which we have lost due to our sinful nature. That's why this life is an ongoing test. That's why none of us are saved yet. We are constantly recovering what the Jews have caused us to give up. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a group of witnesses, let us lay aside every burden and hindrance, and the sin which does so easily entangle us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The entanglement that comes from the stumbling blocks set before us by the Jews, sports idolatry, selfies, atheism, liberalism, homosexuality, race mixing, all the things that the Jewish-run society pushes through the media and TV, these things remove us from the promises and rewards of being a lovingly committed one. Verse 2. Looking unto Yeshua, the author and finisher of our faith, or of the belief, who for the joy that was set before him endured the stake, or cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of Elohim. Follow peace with all, and set apartness, without which no man shall see Yahweh, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace, or divine influence, of Elohim, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Bitterness in Hebrew means a beginning of a rebellion. When we rebel, we fall from grace. Your example either leads or scatters others. Verse 25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, meaning Yeshua. For if the ancestors escaped not who refused him, the prophets and the messengers that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape, if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. The things that Yahweh created, or planted, or that are built upon, will remain when he returns. Verse 28. Wherefore, we, taking possession of a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, or divine influence, whereby we may serve Elohim acceptably with reverence and godly awe. For our Elohim is a consuming fire. Hebrews 13:9. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, or divine influence, not with foods which have not profited them that have been led astray therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burnt outside the camp. Wherefore Yeshua also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Let us go therefore unto Christ outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek one to come, the kingdom. Grace, or divine influence, be with you all. Amen. The theme of grace and mercy continues in Hebrews. Yeshua, Yahweh in the flesh, demonstrates his compassion and loving commitment by being a propitiation for us, fulfilling his promises to Abraham, that by his divine influence we are drawn to the throne of his loving commitment, that the order and office of Melchizedek and the priesthood was to teach us to obey and what to do to atone for our errors, that our reward comes after we have done the will of Yahweh, that if we do not have the belief or faith, then we are rebellious and are now easily entangled in this satanic society and can fall from grace. That only in Yeshua and obedience can we expect mercy and grace, favor and compassion, loving commitment and divine influence. James 1:1. James, a servant of Elohim and of the Prince Yeshua Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. From Genesis to James, so far, the message has been to, for, and about the tribes of Jacob. Nowhere have we seen anyone else or the church being added to that which was promised only to Israel. James 2:8. If you fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your kinsmen as yourself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons or their stature in life, you commit sin and are convicted of the law as transgressors. For those who are merciless shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy or compassion or loving commitment. And mercy, or compassion and loving commitment, rejoice against judgment. What does it benefit, my brethren, though a man say he has belief and not works? Can the belief save him? You can believe what Scripture says, but not do what Scripture says. The churches are guilty of this. They are actually twice guilty, because they believe what they were told Scripture says. They were told counterfeit beliefs that are not of the belief. Hence, they are twofold the children of the devil because they call upon and follow him and his interpretations of Scripture, which is designed to lead you astray, and it works almost flawlessly. James 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, or compassion, or loving commitment, and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Church doctrine is from below. True doctrine is from above. James 4:4. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the society is enmity with Elohim? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the society establishes themself the enemy of Elohim. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? The Greek is clearer. Or do you suppose that vainly the Scripture says, with envy yearns the spirit which dwells in us? Genesis 6:5. And Elohim saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's why we must continually strive to pass this test called mortal life, so by our conduct, our works, we show our loving commitment and would be approved for the next life. James 4:6. But he gives greater grace, or divine influence. Wherefore he says, Elohim resists the proud, but gives grace, or divine influence, unto the humble. The proud are resisted because they think they can declare themselves saved, trust in a Jewish Jesus to take them away in a rapture, and all the other false doctrine the churches teach. They have influence, only it's satanic influence. It may sound harsh, but they do not follow and worship Yahweh. They are not responding to His divine influence. James 5:10. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of Yeshua for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them blessed which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the accomplishment of Yeshua, that Yeshua is very pitiful, or extremely sympathetic, and of tender mercy, or compassionate. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation or judgment. The Jews have an oath that they swear to every year, called the Kol Nidre, from the Jewish Encyclopedia. All vows, obligations, oaths, and anathemas, which are called konam, konas, or by any other name, which we may vow, or swear, or pledge, or whereby we may be bound, from this day of atonement until the next, we do repent. May they be deemed absolved, forgiven, annulled, and void, and made of no effect, that they shall not bind us, nor have power over us. The vows shall not be reckoned vows. The obligations shall not be obligatory, nor the oaths be oaths. The Jews, who are descendants of Cain and Esau, swear every year not to uphold their oaths. In other words, any oath or promise they make will not be honored by them. More plainly, they give themselves permission to lie. Only the devil's children think and operate like this, and unfortunately they have taught all of Christendom to follow. James teaches to his scattered Israelite kinsmen that mercy and grace are shown to those who give it, that wisdom is having compassion and loving commitment without partiality, that friendship with unrighteous society is enmity with Yahweh, and that divine influence and merciful kindness is given to the humble. About 75% of Americans identify as a Christian and one of the 33,000 denominations of so-called Christianity. If any of those denominations were actually Christian, then this society would not be unrighteous and satanic. The society we live in today is completely satanic, and nobody knows it but the remnant. Think about it. Everyone but the remnant either believes in Jewish Jesus or no God at all. What kind of society could it be if 99% of people are in darkness? 1 Peter 1:2. Chosen, according to the foreknowledge of Elohim the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience, and set apart by the blood of Yeshua Christ, grace, or divine mercy unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the Elohim and Father of our Prince Yeshua Christ, according to his abundant mercy, or compassion, or loving commitment, has begotten us again, or engendered us from above, into a lively expectation by the resurrection of Yeshua Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are being preserved by the power of Elohim through belief unto deliverance, ready to be revealed in the last time, that the test of your faith, or the belief of you, being much more valuable than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and dignity at the appearing of Yeshua Christ. If you just believe, you might not be found praiseworthy. Yahweh wants doers, not just believers. Verse 8, whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with unspeakable and full glory, receiving the goal of your faith, or the belief of you, even the deliverance of your lives, of which deliverance the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace, or divine influence, that should come unto you. The prophets wrote about the coming of Christ for his people, that through him and through obedience to him and the way, the favor promised to Abraham will be attained by us. Verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and set your expectation perfectly upon the grace, or divine influence, that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Yeshua Christ, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves according to the former desires in your ignorance, but as He which has called you is set apart, so be you set apart in all manner of conduct. Because it is written, Be ye set apart, for I am set apart. Do this, and you will have favor. Grace does not come without this. Verse 10 states the prophecies from the prophets to Israelites. The Old Testament prophets did not prophesy the salvation of the children of Jacob to the church, believers, Jews, or anyone else. 1 Peter 2:9, But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a set-apart nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of Elohim, which had not been shown mercy, or compassion, or loving commitment, but have now obtained mercy, or compassion, or loving commitment. The churches teach that this is all talking about the church, or the Gentiles. But Hosea, as well as all of Scripture, teaches that it's all about Israelites. Verse 20, For what sort of report, if doing wrong and being beaten, you will submit? But if doing good and suffering you submit, this is a benefit, or divine gratitude, before Yahweh. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. Wives should be in subjection to their husbands. Their conduct sets an example. 1 Peter 3:7 Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace, or divine influence, of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Mutual respect and loving commitment, the function of a righteous union. Verse 8, Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, or sympathetic. Love as brethren, be pitiful or compassionate. Be humble-minded, not rendering evil for evil, or abuse for abuse, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. If a spouse is an unbeliever, and you remain strong in Yahweh, and set an example, the spouse may come around and receive favor. The circle of loving commitment works when you are being lovingly committed, even if you are not receiving loving commitment. As verse 9 states, when you are being a lovingly committed one, which is our divine calling, we should inherit a blessing. 1 Peter 4:10 As every man has received the gift, or divine gratuity, even so minister the same one to another, as good trustees of the manifold grace, or divine influence, of Elohim. We, the children of Israel, are partakers of the promises and covenants made to Abraham. If we who have responded to the divine gratuity, and if we edify our brethren, we are being good stewards of the divine influence of Elohim. This is what the gospel is about, bringing the good news of our redemption and reconciliation to our people who are lost. 1 Peter 5:5 Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For Elohim resists the proud, and gives grace, or divine influence, to the humble. But the Elohim of all grace, or, but the Elohim of all divine influence, who has called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Yeshua, after that you have suffered a while, makes you perfect, establishes, strengthens, and settles you. By Silvanus, a trustworthy brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace, or divine influence, of Elohim wherein you stand. Stand tall in hard times, call upon Yahweh, support and respect your brethren, and you will find yourself standing in true favor. Yahweh gives grace to the humble. That means those not humble may not receive grace. The churches arrogantly claim that they are saved. That is not being humble. 2 Peter 1:2. Grace, or divine influence and peace, be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of Elohim and of Yeshua our Prince. Knowledge and understanding of our Prince, our heritage, and our duty. Not just believing on Him, but understanding, supporting, and following what He believed. 2 Peter 3:13. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein righteousness dwells. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Blameless, meaning not race mixed, and not believing in Jewish Jesus and church doctrine. Verse 15. On account that the long-suffering of our Prince is deliverance. Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. As also, in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable twist and pervert, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. We lost touch with our true heritage because of deception. Now our well-meaning preachers are just repeating the distorted and perverted doctrine of our age-old Jewish enemies. Judeo-Christianity is not Christianity. Verse 17, Ye, therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace, or divine influence, and in the knowledge of our Prince and Savior, Yeshua Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. We must have a clear and fresh new mind, as a child. Unlearn the large amount of false teaching that we are used to, and grow in true understanding. In Peter, we again see the same message of grace and mercy. Having knowledge and truth, along with compassion, loving-kindness, and loving commitment to our brethren, and obedience to our Elohim are all necessary ingredients to receive grace and mercy. 2 John 1:1, The elder, unto the chosen lady, Kyria, and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwells in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace, or divine influence, be with you. Mercy, or compassion, or loving commitment, and peace from Elohim the Father, and from the Master, Yeshua Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Elder is G4245. Presbyteros is also figuratively a member of the Celestial Council. Elect is G1588, electos, meaning chosen. Lady is G2959, Kyria. It may be a reference to a Christian Israelite woman, or may represent the bride, Israelites. The Lord, which should be Yahweh, or Yeshua, in the New Testament is G2962, Kyrios. G2960 is Kyriakos, meaning belonging or related to Yahweh. It's used two times. 1 Corinthians 11:20. So when you come together in one place, it is not the Lord's supper to be eating. If you do not know the truth and eat and drink of the cup unworthily, you are guilty of the body and blood of the Master. Revelation 1:10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet. John was giving the message to the seven churches in Asia, which each represent an age in the stage of the Christian assemblies. The first age beginning with Ephesus, which represented the time from the death of Christ to about 100 AD. The next five church ages represent the different trials and tribulations the church went through and their zeal or lack of. The final state of church is described in the age of Laodicea. This is the time from about the 1850s to present day and ends when Yeshua returns. What we may see from the two uses of Kyriakos, which means belonging to Yahweh, is that we must have true knowledge and understanding of our God, our Master, our Savior, and our Husband, and that we better be ready when He returns because it's any day now. Trim your lamps, repent, show loving commitment, be found doing, because the reign of Yeshua is near. G2961 is Kyrieo, which is to rule, to have dominion over, power over, used seven times. Luke 22:25, and he said unto them, the kings of the nations exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. In this life, men rule over men. Romans 6:9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death has no more dominion over him. In this life, death rules over men. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under divine influence. In this life, sin rules over men. Romans 7:1, know you not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? In this life, the law rules over men. Romans 14:9, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. In this life, the account we must give rules over us. 2 Corinthians 1:24, not for that we have dominion over you of the belief, but are helpers of your joy, for to the belief you stand. Part of the belief is believing the promises of Elohim, and when we are being His lovingly committed ones, we are standing on His word and can expect His grace and mercy. 1 Timothy 6:15, which in His own times He shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. At the end of this last age, all will be revealed. Continuing with 2 John 1:4, I rejoiced greatly that I found of your children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. A family loves one another. The race of Adam is a family, the family of Yahweh. Verse 6, and this is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment, that, as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the society, who confess not that Yeshua Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have ministered, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ has not Elohim. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that bids him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Jude 1:2, mercy, or compassion, or loving commitment unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you, and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, or the belief, which was once delivered unto the saints. Jude is warning the congregation of the common teaching of salvation by the false teachers and Judaizers. The word common refers to something defiled or profane. The Jewish Pharisees were teaching profane and perverted doctrine, just like today's churches do. Verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old, written about to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace, or divine influence, of our Elohim into lasciviousness, and denying the only Master and Prince, Yeshua Christ. This is done by teaching us to practice ungodliness. The certain and ungodly men who crept in unawares are the children of Esau. These, along with the children of Cain, are those that creep in unawares and steer us away from the light. These are Jews. Just judge them by their fruits. They own and run everything, including the media and entertainment. It shouldn't be hard to see what their message is. These are the vessels fitted for destruction, hence ordained for destruction. The vessels of mercy are the children of Israel. Jude 1:21. Keep yourselves in the love of Elohim, looking for the mercy, or loving commitment, of our Master Yeshua Christ unto eternal life, and indeed have compassion, or loving commitment, making a difference upon those who are hesitating. Those hesitating still have a chance to gain back mercy and grace, if they stop hesitating, repent, and conform to their duty as children of Yahweh. How we treat our kinsmen is directly connected to how we will receive grace. If we do not show mercy, we will not receive mercy. Revelation 1:4, John, to the seven assemblies which are in Asia, grace, or divine influence, be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. The message being to the seven assemblies, meaning specific assemblies. There were more than seven assemblies in the Christian world at this time, but these seven are being singled out for examples. The message and the promise is still the same, and to the same people. The promise to Abraham is exclusively to our people. Verse 5. And from Yeshua Christ, who is the trustworthy witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto Elohim and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Revelation 22:21. The grace, or divine influence, of our Prince Yeshua Christ be with you all. Amen. Right to the last verse, the divine influence of Yahweh's loving commitment is with his sanctified ones, which is the meaning of the word saint. Only the children from the loins of Isaac were ever sanctified upon an altar to Yahweh at the command of Yahweh himself. Only they can legitimately be his sanctified ones, and therefore, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Saxons and the European history revealed in the revelation of Yeshua Christ is the end of all proofs of our Israelite heritage. Grace means favor, loving commitment, divine influence. The loving commitment of the preservation and deliverance of our people. It is not a free ticket to heaven on the rapture plane because you declared yourself saved, because you accepted Haimi Jesus, as the churches teach. It is the free gift to those that seek and follow the way, and it puts them into great position to inherit that which was promised to the seed of Abraham. The kingdom will not be filled with freeloaders that depended on some empty word grace, which they received by their own declaration. Be thankful that you are a true Israelite according to the flesh, and through obedience and allegiance with our Elohim Yahweh, and with knowledge and understanding of your heritage and your duty as a lovingly committed one, you can claim true favor and compassion, the merciful kindness by which Yahweh exerting his divine influence upon Israelite souls, returning them to Christ, keeps, strengthens, increases them in the Christian way, knowledge, affection, and true belief, and kindles them to the exercise of the Christian virtues. Praise Yahweh. Thank you, Yeshua, and may the divine influence be with you, my kinsmen.